Good morning and welcome to this episode of the AdDrop Podcast. As we continue to span the world of college baseball today, we stop at Lamar University. With me is head baseball coach Will Davis. Coach Davis, good morning. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Not bad. Now, you have an interesting backstory as far as your path here. You are the son of a coach. So, first question I got to ask, did you know early on that baseball would be your path?
Yeah, that's a great question, Terrence. I mean, I think sports in general, I've always just grew up a sports fan and we played them all when I was a kid, basketball, football, baseball. Having my dad be a baseball coach and growing up, particularly around that, obviously your first dream is to play professional sports, and in baseball that's, be a Major League Baseball player. I was probably around 12 when I realized it, not necessarily that I couldn't play Major League Baseball, but that nobody plays Major League Baseball until they're 75 years old, and then eventually you have to do something else. So it was a little bit of a moment of panic for me as a young 12-year-old kid, but then I kind of realized, like, wait a minute, I could just do what my dad does. I can be a coach. So I've known for a long time this is what I wanted to do.
Now, what was the transition like going from Lee High School to on campus at LSU as far as being a player?
As far as being a player, it was a big jump. My high school wasn't a baseball powerhouse by the point that I went there. They actually were back in the day, but we'd only had a couple of people play at the next level, in the last, probably it was only the last year that it was a school was in 2008. So the last decade or so that it was a school, there was probably only two or three people that played any kind of baseball at the next level, let alone LSU. So it was a big adjustment for me, and there wasn't travel ball at the time. Travel ball had just kind of started a little bit, so it wasn't really a big thing that was open to everybody. So you were pretty much at the mercy of the competition that you played, in your town. So it was quite a big jump for me, going to LSU.
Now, you were a part of the 2004 College World Series team, and you were also a two-time academic honor roll selection. How important was the finding the balance between baseball and your education? How important was that to you, and how did you make that work?
I mean, I think when you're a kid, when you're 18, I don't know if you necessarily, and you go to a school to play baseball, you don't necessarily realize, like, sure, you want to get a degree, and I think we're all working toward that. I don't know if necessarily school is always the number one focus for everyone. I think, a lot of their time and their brain power is, dedicated to what can I do to get on the field, to get to the next level, all that kind of stuff. And school was more of a task to that needed to be completed. I mean, that's kind of the way I treated it when I was at that age. Then you get to be a little bit older in your, time, 20, 21, junior, senior, you realize, like, oh, wow, this is actually like going to mean something here when I graduate. I think when you're 18, you still kind of have that, unless you have a very specific, major like engineering or pre-med or something like that, or pre-law, and you want to go into one of those fields. I think a lot of people kind of view it, especially baseball players, like the way they did in high school. I just take the classes they tell me to take. And I show up at practice, and then you get a little older and you realize, oh, okay, this is my degree audit and I'm this close to the degree, and maybe you view things a little bit differently.
Now, you were the coach of Lamar, I think, at age 32. Did you look around and see, wow, I'm the head coach here at a relatively young age? Did that dawn on you, or was that just kind of in the back of your mind and you kind of forgot about it?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you look around and, at the time, and even still we, the Southland Conference has been a great place where a lot of young coaches have gotten their head coaching start and gone on to do big things. So, it wasn't totally atypical, but, it was, I still felt very blessed to have the opportunity to be a head coach, at such a young age. And I kind of viewed it as a man, okay, this is a great opportunity for me to learn, I mean, to learn how to, obviously you don't want to learn to the point where you fail too much, but it's a great opportunity for me to learn a lot about, how to become a head coach and do it the right way, at a very young age. And, looking back on it now that it's been, 7 years, I feel very blessed to have had that opportunity at such a young age.
Now, you played catcher, which, if anyone knows the game, knows that probably the most important position player on the field. What did you learn as catcher to help you become a better coach? How has that been able to make that translation?
Yeah, that's a good, interesting question. I mean, I think you see a lot of catchers, become coaches. I think it's the baseball has become a sport where it's very divided between the pitchers and the position players and the way they practice and all that stuff. And I think a catcher is the one kind of conduit that is a go-between between both groups. You're the one that's dealing with the pitchers the most, and there's just it's an inherent leadership position. I mean, you're facing all the other players. You're the only player that's looking at the other eight players on the field, and it's just a it's a leadership position, and you're the one guy that's, I mean, the pitcher is as well, but the pitchers change obviously as the game goes on or the weekend goes on. You're the one guy who's in there on every single pitch. Shortstop might get four or five plays a game, but you're on every single pitch. So it kind of lends itself to being just a natural leadership position.
Now, you're known for your aggressive recruiting, being able to get your hands in the recruiting process, especially going back to Louisiana. How important is it to you to make sure that you go back to your home state and be able to grab talent to make them a part of the Cardinal family?
It's interesting. I just want to have a good team and a good program. And so, every school is different in how you want to attack the recruiting and the niche that each school has that you need to do to make it the most successful possible. And, Louisiana is not a very big state as far as population goes. And I think there's only 4 million people. Well, the city of Houston has more than that, and that's only an hour away. Even though we're 20 minutes from Louisiana, we're an hour from Houston, between Houston, Austin, San Antonio, Dallas—you're talking some of the biggest cities in the United States here in Texas. So, even though I have the ties over there, we really haven't done too much recruiting in Louisiana. We're fortunate; our starting middle infielders this year are both Louisiana guys. But it's look, I love the Louisiana guys. We have the good brotherhood. We talk about the Saints and the food and all that stuff. But it's it would be ignorant on our part to not, get most of our players from the state of Texas because it's just such a great baseball state with a very big population.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to discuss the team in general and kind of looking for the Southland Conference season. But that's after this break. You are listening to the AdDrop podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with AdDrop podcast. Terrence Biggs with me is Coach Will Davis of the Lamar Cardinals. Coach, you have, as a catcher, we got to talk about Ryan Snell. He's senior with you. What have you seen with Ryan's development that makes you believe that he's going to have a pretty strong 2023?
Ryan's he's a coach's dream. He's probably the one of the most coachable kids I've ever coached. He kind of came in and was a catcher and had a lot of raw tools. I saw him his summer after his senior year. He went to a really small high school in this area and didn't see him even in high school until after he had graduated already. He was going to Panola Junior College. But he impressed me. I remember the first time I saw him, it was at Tulane University in a summer game. And I thought, okay, that's a kid to follow there. And we were fortunate enough to get him after his 2 years at Panola. And, he just never had really been coached at the catcher position at a high level, and a couple pointers here and there. And man, you didn't have to show him, or you just tell him and he would do it immediately. It was pretty remarkable how he took to everything. And now having been a 3 year starter for us, somebody that we lean on a lot, I always ask his opinion and it's very valuable. And when I think, it behooves you as a coach that when you get players like that, that can handle it, you can give them more and more and make them almost a little bit of an accessory to the coaching staff. And, we've tried to do that with Ryan, and he's also a very clutch hitter for us too. I mean, he had some huge hits for us last year. I mean, remember him hitting a home run here at home to beat Abilene Christian off of Max Huffling, who's one of their best pitchers. It was pretty much untouchable. Just had some great moments with him, and I'm excited to see, him have a great senior year.
Now, your DH is Josh Blankenship. When you look at his 2022 and looking forward to the season, what do you think his next step as far as his development will be?
On the offensive side, I wouldn't say he has much to develop with. I mean, honestly, I mean, it's one thing to put up numbers, but it's also another thing to be a great hitter. And Josh is a great hitter. He's a tough out. He's a smart hitter. He doesn't chase out of the zone. And he's also strong and can impact the baseball. You know what I mean? So he's a perfect guy for us. He led our team in RBIs last year, and we'll have him right in that cleanup spot again this year. And hopefully, he can replicate what he did last year. But to his credit, he was our DH. Chase Kemp, our starting first baseman, graduated, and Josh has worked really hard to make himself as good of a defender at first base as Chase was. So there's no drop off defensively. So he'll be playing first for us this year. And that frees us up to put somebody else in the designated hitter spot. And so, most of his development has come on the defensive side of the ball. So it's been great to see Josh put the work in there, and I couldn't be prouder of him.
You have a player in Kevin Bermudez, where despite his size, shows excellent pop and more
Yeah.
importantly, the speed, seven triples, seven stolen bases. When you see somebody of not the biggest guy in the world, but has so many tools, how will Kevin manage to use all these tools to take the next step this season?
Yeah, for not a tall guy, Kevin is really strong. His exit velocities off the bat are around 100, which for a guy his height is usually not a typical thing. But because of that, he's like you said, he can run as well. And I mean, they don't get much better offensively than Kevin Bermudez. I mean, that's the perfect blend of speed and power. And then once again, Kevin is a great hitter as well. I think Kevin had like 38 walks last year, and he does so well for us in the leadoff spot. And he's a great on base guy. When he's not going good, he's still getting on base. And when he's going good, he's unstoppable. So, I mean, that's the kind of guy you're looking for, that if he's almost slump proof. I mean, he's always bringing something to the table, even if he doesn't feel quite right. And then he's worked really hard as well defensively. And Kevin's kind of a jack of all trades. We can put him in left, right, second base, third base. When you have players like that, it kind of frees up, just like Blankenship playing first, it frees you up to try to get other better hitters in the lineup. So it's we've had that with some guys in the past. Like last year, we had Matt McDonald was pretty versatile like that, and I think Kevin is even more so.
Now, what is the biggest misconception about soccer and conference baseball? Like to an outsider, what would they get wrong when they look at your conference as far as the level of talent and just the competitiveness of games?
Yeah, I think baseball people know. I mean, and like if you're at school in Louisiana or Texas, I mean, and we were fortunate when I was at LSU to play a lot of the Southland schools, even the Texas ones. You know that you're gonna have to strap it on, and they're gonna it's a like I said, it's a great breeding ground for coaches. We have a bunch of really great coaches in our conference. I wish we didn't, but we have to see them throughout the year, and it's a fight. I mean, every game is a fight. There's not a lot of lopsided victories in conference play, and then you also see a lot of our teams knocking off the bigger schools, the Power Fives, and you'll see a lot of that this year, I'm sure. So it's a great baseball conference, and we couldn't be happier to be in it.
Last two questions, Coach. What is the one food from back home that you miss most?
Man, that is a great question. I mean, and that was a little surprise. You probably, where are you looking at it at, Terrence?
Wisconsin.
Okay, so like there's a Southeast Texas, like there's a Louisiana flair to it. You know what I mean? So I guess when they struck oil, I don't want to go through a big history lesson. When they struck oil, you got a lot of workers that were from Louisiana that came over, 7,500 years ago, and have stayed and settled this area. So we have Mardi Gras, we have gumbo, we have all of that stuff. The crawfish here is probably actually even better, I would say. I think all the people from Louisiana would kill me for saying that, but the crawfish farms out in Winnie and stuff, they do a good job with it. So there's not really a lot, that you miss. I guess just the full on, not a food thing, but the full on just Mardi Gras parades all the time. And we have Mardi Gras here, but it's only like 1 or 2 days. And being able to take the kids down to a on an off day down in New Orleans on a Sunday or a Monday during the season, we don't get to do that. So, I hate that, but no, as far as the food goes, they do a pretty good job here as well.
Now, last question. You mentioned being a Saints fan in your busy schedule as a coach. Take a minute to fix the Saints.
Man, I don't know. I just think they probably have to reset. I mean, like this was coming. I mean, you had Drew Brees for 15 years, and you'd pick in the last part of the first round every year. I mean, eventually you're going to have a void at quarterback. I mean, obviously the best teams, the teams are the best quarterbacks by and large. So, I think they did a good job last year with the defense, and they got some good young players. I'd just be interested to see what they do with quarterback this year. I think randomly, I guess, and you probably know better than me, there seems to be a lot of available veteran guys out there, like the Derek Carrs of the world. So maybe they can
Yes.
get one of those guys. I don't know how much draft capital they have. I think they just got some now with the Sean Payton trade, which I hate to see him go. That'd be a way to fix it, is just to make him stay because he was so good.
Coach Will Davis, Lamar University head coach, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the AirDrop Podcast.
Thanks, Terrence. Anytime, man.